Good morning, everybody. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Sunday morning. Hope you're primed up, getting ready to go to church this morning, to corporate worship and corporate word and being fed by the Lord. I've got a message for you this morning that I'm going to jump right into because I've got a lot of notes. This will take me a while to get through, but I believe it's imperative that we understand what's being said. I have been kind of floating around on this particular subject for quite some time. I stand, I guess, in awe still of what we encounter in the public eye today, in the world today, and how people see what is going on and how they're blinded to what is going on as well, being literally blinded to the truth. I titled this message today, Running Blind. It's not a good idea to go around running blind because you're going to probably run into something or fall off a cliff. But running blind, and the question that I want to ask is, what is spiritual blindness? Now, we hear about this, we read about it in the Word, but what does it actually mean to be spiritually blind? To be spiritually blind is to not see Christ, and to not see Christ is to not see God. Look at how Paul describes Jesus here in Colossians chapter 1. Matter of fact, I'd encourage you to go read the entire passage. It paints a beautiful picture, Colossians chapter 1. But Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15 and 16, he is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, and the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and the majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ." Spiritual blindness is it's a grievous condition. It's experienced by those who do not believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they don't believe in his word. So it's the blindness comes by choice through unbelief. Is basically what's being spoken here. Romans chapter 2, verse 8, "But for those who are selfishly ambitious and seeking and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be wrath and indignation." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12, "Because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence, an activity of error and deception, so that they will believe the lie, in order that all may be judged and condemned who do not believe the truth about their sin and the need for salvation through Christ, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness." Those who reject Christ are lost. When we refer to they, that's what this is going to be referring to, the lost. In John chapter 6, verse 68 through 69, Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You are our only hope. We have believed and confidently trusted, and even more, we have come to know by personal observation and experience that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God." So being spiritually blind, the lost, they are perishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "But even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing, the lost. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, and has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have prospered and grown wealthy and have need of nothing,' you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, without hope, and in great need." They, the lost, choose not to accept the teachings of Christ and his authority in their lives. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The lost are blind to the manifestations of God as revealed throughout his word and through Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself." These are described as those who do not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The lost can't discern the spiritual things because they're blinded spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter 3:3, Peter spoke of such people as scoffers who will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Well, there's an image of today. Those who literally brush off the Word of God, who laugh at the truth, who are so deceived that they're following the darkness wholeheartedly as if it was some sort of light. Jude chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, they used to say to you, "In the last days there will be scoffers, following after their own ungodly passions. These are the ones who are agitators, causing divisions, worldly-minded, secular, unspiritual, carnal, merely sensual, unsaved, and devoid of the Spirit. Those who reject Christ and His Word are spiritually blind and cannot understand the truth of the Scriptures. The truth actually sounds foolish to the lost." Isaiah 37:23, "Whom have you taunted and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." See, the Bible describes those denying God as foolish and fools. Psalms 14:1, "The spiritually ignorant, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed repulsive and unspeakable deeds. There is no one who does good." Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid man who built his house on the sand." Because of the blindness, because of the rejection of God and His Word, there are perilous and unsaved condition ahead for them. John chapter 12, verse 48, "Whoever rejects me and refuses to accept my teachings has one who judges him. The very word that I spoke will judge and condemn him on his last day." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 4, "For if the message given through angels, the law given to Moses, was authentic and unalterable, and every violation and disobedient act received an appropriate penalty, how will we escape the penalty if we ignore such a great salvation, the gospel, the new covenant? For it is spoken at first by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who personally heard him speak. And besides this evidence, God also testifying with them, confirming the message of salvation, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles carried out by Jesus and the apostles, and by granting to believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Man, that passage of scripture alone speaks some volumes right there. The same Spirit that Jesus walked in, the same Spirit that the apostles walked in, they saw the miraculous, they saw the signs and wonders. That same Spirit is the gift of the Holy Spirit being given and granted to all believers to work upon in his own will. The spiritually blind are simply unable to understand God's Word. In Matthew 13:13, "This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables," Jesus said, "because while having the power of seeing, they do not see. And while having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand and grasp spiritual things." In Deuteronomy 29:4, it says, "Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart and mind to understand, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear." Jesus said in John 14, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." John 14:15-17. Paul echoed this when he told the believers in Rome. In Romans 8:8-9, it says, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Those outside of Christ are not of God because their lives are steeped in the things of the world with all its passions. Their eyes are blind to the Spirit of God, spiritual blindness. Those outside of Christ are not of God. The Apostle John said, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, but that person's love is from the world. That's 1 John 2:15-16. The cause of spiritual blindness is made quite clear in the scriptures. It's 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul refers to Satan as the God of this world. Extraordinarily evil is what it says in John 8:44. Satan destroys the flesh. 1 Corinthians 5:5, you are to hand over this man to Satan for the destruction of his body so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. See, our enemy masquerades as an angel of light. He's a poser. He's a counterfeit. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Luke 4:2, for 40 days being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they ended, he was hungry. All of these things that Satan did, all the temptations, if you look at that in Luke 4, you'll see all of the stuff that Jesus walked through and all the things that Satan tempted him with. Satan used the word of God, but then so did Jesus. Jesus used it correctly. Satan took it out of context. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every aspect, in every respect, as we are, yet without committing any sin. You can't say, well, you know, Satan couldn't win because he was Jesus. Jesus was human. He took on the human nature. That's why it shows that in Luke of him being tempted the same as we are tempted. He reveals in scheming against and trapping the unbelievers. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like splendid armor of heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. 2 Timothy 2:25-26, he must correct those who are in opposition with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and be led to the knowledge of the truth, accurately understanding and welcoming it, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Satan's goal is to devour the weak. The weak who fall prey to temptation, who fall prey to fear, who fall prey to loneliness, who fall prey to worry, or fall prey to depression and persecution. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted and established and immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. One of Satan's biggest tools is to get us isolated, to make us feel like we're the only one dealing with this issue, this struggle, this challenge. But it's just simply not true. Without God and left to ourselves, we easily succumb to the devil's schemes. If we walk without the Spirit of the Lord in us, we're a target that is easily swept away in this immoral world that we live. We can become so mired in the affairs of this world and its moral darkness that in the end, God turns us over to spiritual blindness and eternal condemnation. John 12:40, he was blind. He has blinded their eyes and they have hardened their heart to keep them from seeing with their eyes and understanding with their heart and being converted. Otherwise, their God would heal them. Romans 1:24-32, therefore, because of this, God gave them over to the lusts of their own hearts, to sexual impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them and to the degrading power of sin. Because by choice, remember, catch that, because by choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to the degrading and vile passions, for their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural, a function contrary to nature. And in the same way also the men turned away from the natural function of the woman and were consumed with their desire toward one another, men and with men committing shameful acts, and in return receiving their own bodies with inevitable and appropriate penalty for their wrongdoing. That's pretty plain English. It goes on to say, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, with wickedness, with greed, with evil, full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness. They are gossips, spreading rumors, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and without pity. That's quite a description of those who are blinded spiritually, who are not walking with the Lord. As believers, we have the Spirit of God reigning in our lives to ward off those debilitating effects of Satan's power and the world's influence over us. That's that spirit of fight in us. It's where we put on the armor of God. It's where we raise our shield to stop the fiery darts of the devil. It's where we yield and wield the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God, to defend ourselves and to fight back against these evils. 1 John 4:13, by this we know with confident assurance that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given to us this his Holy Spirit. John tells us, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, in 1 John 4:15. Satan wars within us and without us. He wars all around us. His weapons are deceitful and crafty, and he schemes to make us doubt and stumble. 2 Corinthians 2:11, if you forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of and with the approval of Christ, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Ephesians 4:14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships in a stormy sea, carried about with every wind of shifting doctrine by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Yet God has provided us with powerful weapons to ward off his flaming arrows. Ephesians 6 explains it very cleanly, verses 10-18. It tells us all about the spiritual warfare. It tells us all about the armor of God and how that we can stand even in the face of the enemy, even in the midst of the attack, how to stand firm and in place. You need to go check that out. I won't take the time to read this morning, but Ephesians 6:10-18 gives us the description of God's armor and how we're to wield it against the enemy's forces. As believers, we can overcome the evil one and remain in the light and never become spiritually blind. For in truth, Jesus has given us his powerful promise and a wonderful promise. He said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. He's the truth in which we must adhere to. John 14:6, I love this passage of scripture, and it'll kind of help bring us to a close in this today. It's a great finishing strong nugget of truth for this message. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. A very simple description. No matter what happens in this world, no matter who you think you are, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without a relationship with Christ, we have no doorway to get to the Father. We have no doorway into our eternal life in heaven. We only have one doorway left, and that's going to be an eternity in a lake of fire. All of this, I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages of scripture concerning the parable of the rich young ruler that Jesus shared. I'm going to go here with you to close this. The rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16-22. It says, and someone came to him and said, Teacher, what essentially good things shall I do to obtain eternal life? That is, eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. Jesus answered, "Why are you asking me about what is essentially good? There is only one who is essentially good. But if you wish to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." He said to Jesus, "Which commandments?" Now, this is a smart kid, right? I mean, he's a smart young man. He's been raised in the commandments. He's been raised in the law that was handed down. The Ten Commandments being referred to here. Those were where the law of the Israelites were established, the law of God established among that nation. And he said, "Which ones?" And Jesus answered, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others." Now, I love the guy's response. The young man said to him, "I've kept all these things from my youth. What do I still lack?" Oh, that's a big question right there. See, we can go out through our entire life doing good things. We can go on our entire life living according to the law of Moses, the law that was handed down. I've never murdered anybody. Don't commit adultery. Don't sin. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't all of these things. Those are pretty simple, right? I mean, we call them the Big Ten rules, the top ten, whatever you want to call them. Those are not hard to adhere to. I mean, they're really pretty simple, pretty simplistic. Man's complicated them a little bit. But look at what this young man said. "I've kept all these from my youth. What do I still lack?" So now he's opening the door for Jesus to really tell him what's important here. And Jesus answered him, "If you wish to be perfect," that is, have spiritual maturity that accompanies godly character with no moral or ethical deficiencies. That's a big word right there, right? If you really want to know what it means to be pure, if you really want to know what it means to be one of my followers, if you really want to know what it takes to be spiritually mature, to have godly character with moral and ethical deficiency, no moral or ethical deficiency, go sell everything you have. Give the money to the poor. He didn't say go sell it and bring it to the church. Go sell it and put it in our box. Go sell it and put it in our sock. He said go sell everything you have and give away the money. Again, showing him that your stuff and your money is not what's important here. Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Become my disciple, believing and trusting in me and walking the same path of life that I walk. That's, again, pretty simple, right? You want to have eternal life? You've asked the question, what must I do? Well, you keep all the commandments, live according to God's word. But then do this, give up everything that's important to you, sell your possessions. Possessions mean nothing. Money means nothing. Give it all away and come and follow me wholeheartedly. Put your eyes on me, walk the same life that I walk. That's what Jesus is asking of any of us today. And listen, this message, you could turn it however direction you want to turn that. Jesus is not asking you to go broke. He's not asking you to empty your bank account. But if he does, I have heard some testimonies where God has done just that. Matter of fact, a very prominent preacher, a very prominent book writer, a very famous author of our day, Francis Chan, one of his stories is where God told him to write a check for a missions project. And he said, how much? Because he knew he didn't have much. Him and his wife were just barely getting by. This was early in their ministry, early in their walk with the Lord. And God told him, write it all. Like everything you got in your account, write the check. Just empty your account, write the check. So he goes home and he's like, how am I going to tell this to my wife? But his wife has already been speaking with the Lord too, and they both knew they needed to write the check, and they did. And by being obedient, God prospered them immensely. Francis Chan's history and his story is one of great giving. I'd encourage you to check him out, but the man has given away tremendous amounts, has never lived above his means. Matter of fact, I think at the time of one of his books, he was driving like a 1987 Honda Accord as a family car. Yeah, that doesn't fit in the mega pastor realm, but it fits in the man of God who says, I'm going to walk in Jesus' life the way Jesus walked. And that's what he's asking of us. It's what he was asking of this rich young ruler. Now listen to that. It ends. Verse 22, but when the young man heard this, he left grieving and distressed, for he owned much property and had many possessions, which he treasured more than his relationship with God. where do you stand today? Are you running blind? Are you going through this life blinded by the things of the enemy, putting things ahead of the Lord, allowing things to stand in the way, things that you treasure of this world more than you treasure with the relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what he's talking about in this spiritual blindness. That's what he's referring to when he says that there's things that we're going to be blinded to if we allow ourselves to be so. It's our choice as to what we do with life. And you know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is where we have to make a decision. And again, you can take from this message many, many things. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go bankrupt. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to give up everything you own. But what he's asking of you is to be obedient. What he's asking of you is to follow him in his footsteps. Live a life that he lived here on this earth. Live according to God's word. Be obedient to God's word. Get our lifestyle out of the gutter. Get our lifestyle set on the altar of Christ. Get our lifestyle set on the cross of Christ. That he gave up his whole life for us. He went through a brutal death. And he was buried dead for 3 days. He rose again. And he lives in heaven, seated right to the... I don't think he's seated anymore. I believe he's standing. I believe he's standing on the right hand of God, waiting for God to tell him, go get him. We're that close. You realize that. This is our time. And we've got to know that our life is in order, that we're not spiritually blinded to anything of the schemes of the enemy anymore. Listen, I have all kinds of communication with all kinds of people. And I have many who mock my relationship with God, many who call me out for having an invisible friend. They don't need an invisible friend. Listen, they have no idea what they're missing out on. That invisible friend to me, the one I can't see, that I feel in his presence in me, and that I walk in his presence in faith, is better than anything this world has to offer. Don't walk in spiritual blindness. Don't run blind through this world any longer. Allow God to open your eyes to what he's got for you. And listen, you may think you got it all figured out. You may think life is great. I want to challenge you today to just open your heart and say, God, show me if there's anything in my life that still needs to change. If there's anything in my life that I still need to surrender to you today, point it out. Give me conviction in my heart for whatever that may be, that I might live purely in your footsteps, walking this life out as you did, so that I'm fruitful for the kingdom of God. That's the ultimate goal. Our life isn't about who we are. It's not about what we accumulate. It's not about what we have. It's not about what happens in the end. It's literally about our life lived for Christ, because it's all about him, not us. It's all about Jesus. It has absolutely nothing to do with us. We're simply the vessel. We're simply the tools that he's using here on this earth to lead others to Jesus Christ. Look around you at the lost. They have no hope for eternity. The only thing they've got ahead of them is hell, burning fire of brimstone for eternity. That's not anything I'm interested in at all. They could have an eternal life with Christ in heaven, but we've got to show them the way. We've got to offer them the alternative, and we've got to lead them correctly, leading them to Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along with our podcast and allowing me the distance to go in this. And man, I pray you gather something from this message that draws you into a tighter relationship with Christ, that challenges you. Maybe you're one of those on the outside looking in. Maybe you're one of those who argues with me. Maybe you hear this message and you're one of my friends who they're not following the Lord. You're walking a path of your own destruction. Man, it's a miserable place. I'm telling you, the only true peace you will ever have is in surrender to Jesus Christ. It changes us forever. You can call him an invisible friend all you want, but I know the path that I've walked, and I see the evidence of Jesus Christ in my life. I see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I see the evidence of the Father. I see the evidence of things that have happened in my life spiritually that there is no other explanation for. It's not happenstance. It's not luck. It's not anything else. It's God moving in my life and moving me throughout my life to be a better man of God for Him, to listen to His word, to hear His word, and to follow Him, following His voice throughout this life, speaking that back in return to others, seeking out that which is lost so that they may be found. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. All of our links are on our website, www.livingloudoutdoors.com, pinned right to the top of our Facebook page in our story there. You can find a way to support us, but please pray with us. Walk with us on this journey as we continue to pursue the heart of God in everything that we do. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.